Everybody, welcome to Wednesday of the fifth week of Easter. And may I once again invite you to paying close attention to that first reading today from the Acts of the Apostles. Really, really important one for us to ponder as the church. So let's begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for joining us. Let's ask God for his mercy. Lord Jesus, you protect the church. Lord, have mercy. You share your spirit with the church. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you are the head of the church. Lord, have mercy. And may Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Let us pray. O God, restorer and lover of innocence, direct the hearts of your servants toward yourself, that those who have that you have set free from the darkness of unbelief may never stray from the light of your truth. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Some who had come down from Judea were instructing the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised, according to the Mosaic practice, you cannot be saved." Because there arose no little dissension and debate by Paul and Barnabas with them, it was decided that Paul, Barnabas, and some of the others should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and presbyters about this question. They were sent on the journey by the church and passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, telling of the conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brethren. When they arrived in Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church, as well as by the apostles and the presbyters, and they reported what God had done with them. But some from the party of the Pharisees, who had become believers, stood up and said, "It is necessary to circumcise them and direct them to observe the Mosaic law." The apostles and the presbyters met together to see about this matter. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes so it will bear more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So I let me share with you, first of all, the commentary I've been using for all of this. I think you should know this is the New Testament for Spiritual Reading Commentary. It's a series of books on each of the New Testament books. And this is the second book on the Acts of the Apostles by Kunzinger, a scripture scholar. And I want to begin my words about the Acts of the Apostles today with this. He writes, what is said here, and he's talking about the first reading you just heard today, is a continuation of a truly universal of truly universal significance. If we look at the matter superficially, we may get the impression that the problem under consideration is purely a local one and does not concern us now. But a closer examination of motives and causes will make it clear that the result of the conflict here will decide for all time the very nature and being of the church. So this is a very important reading we have here today. So let me give you a scenario. Let's imagine that you and I are Jews and we become followers of Jesus Christ. And so we're following Jesus Christ, we're very beginning of all this. And yet it's been drummed into our head from the very beginning of our lives, and it's been true for centuries, that the law is the way to salvation. There is no salvation outside the law. The law has been in place for a century after century, and it is God's word to all of us. And all of a sudden, here comes people like Paul. They're saying, seeing these Gentiles having the same experience the apostles had at Pentecost. They're saying, you don't have to follow the law. Even Jews don't have to follow the law anymore. So no more Sabbath, no more dietary laws. Now Gentiles and Jews can eat dinner together, which was anathema before. You could be excommunicated for such a thing before, as outrageous as that was. Now all that is fine. Now, these Judaizers, these Jews who became Christians, thought that was outrageous. You have to follow the law. You can't not follow the law. And so let me, again, Kutzinger writes this about these Judaizers, which we're going to hear more of as things unfold. It is easy for us to accuse the Jews of deliberate maliciousness. We must not forget that they had been religiously conditioned for centuries to believe in the meticulous observance of Mosaic law as the necessary basis for all righteousness. So let's not be too hard on them. But at the same time, we go on to say, this whole idea of somehow letting these preconceived notions die and us learning to preserve the faith and move forward at the same time is part and parcel of the struggle of the church all the time. Listen as Kunzinger continues. He writes, the difficulty of bringing an old time-honored tradition into line with changing contemporary needs and requirements remains, after all, one of the continuing preoccupations of the church, something we need to be doing all the time and something we need to be doing today even. So what we got here is the First Council of Jerusalem. Here is the First Council. We know the Second Vatican Council as the most recent in our own time. This was the first council ever. Listen again to verse 5 and verse 6 of our reading today, where it says, but some of the party of the Pharisees who had become believers stood up and said, it's necessary to circumcise them and direct them to observe Mosaic law. The apostles and the presbyters, the elders, met together to see about this matter. Here's the first time the leadership of the church kind of comes together to solve a major, huge issue in the life of the church. Apostles and elders, the leadership, these are the first priests, these elders, these presbyters. And notice it's in Jerusalem. Notice again that Peter is in charge of all this. He's still the lead. And we've been having councils ever since as one of the ways in which the church, one of the most important ways, maybe the most important way for the church to resolve major issues like that's going on in the first reading here today. Here's my question for today. I hope I wasn't too long. Hope I didn't confuse you too much. Does this reading help you to understand the church better? And secondly, in faith and morals, do you think the church, not me, not the bishop, not the pope, but the church is infallible when it comes to faith and morals? God bless you. And I think John will be seeing you tomorrow for the Liturgy of the Word. God bless you. And I'll see you again this weekend. Bye-bye.